Hello and welcome to the Socially Intoxicated Awareness Podcast, although I thought we said we were going to stop doing that. The Sotoxipod, episode something in season two.
Hey, I think the funny thing we should be talking about is this is the first fucking time you aren't guitaring into the microphone before
we start. I already did?
Yeah, okay.
This is how attentive Toby is.
Okay. Well, you didn't do it while I was there. Anyways, we're joined tonight by two guests who I'm very proud to call my friends. Their names are Rio and Mathieu. And I know them because they are interesting people and have a lot of shit to say. And I see Matt is incredibly excited about this. As he's told me every now and again, like, the only thing I want in life is to have a microphone I can talk shit into. There we
go. Well, you have your space now.
Sounds about right, guys. How's everyone doing?
Yeah, hungover.
I'm hungover. Toby and I, for the first time yesterday in a while, were able to get drunk inside of a bar, and that was amazing. And the way it was spaced out was pretty cool in the bar, but like, I have not had a night like that in a really long time. I spent more time cleaning up my mess that I left in the toilet than I did making it, if you know what I mean. Yeah, and it's been a rough morning until I found that the awesome fry place in town, they deliver. So it was great for like greasy chili cheese fries. So now
you should introduce yourselves first.
Yeah.
That's how we talk about the mess in the bathroom.
Yeah, when we get back to that, it's on the point.
Ray, you want to kick us off?
Yeah. Pleasure to be on the so. Anyways.
You got it. You got it.
On the SoCast. Let's just call it the SoCast.
So Toxapod is what we call it.
Yeah. No, my name is Rio. I'm 22. I'm from France. Yeah, and I met Toby through the studies. So we've known each other for like 4 years, something like that.
I met our shared friend Henry before I met you, and then I met you through him.
Yeah, that's right.
I think at the first,
at the
what's it called, committee market for? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good time.
So that's quite a while back. But yeah, I'm finishing my bachelor here. I'm doing just like Toby, biomedical sciences, knee deep in thesis. Can't wait to be done. This is a great welcome break to the thesis run.
Yeah, I get to talk some shit online. Who doesn't love
it? I know. Talk shit to Matt.
Exactly.
Even better.
It's, but we're such a good combination here.
Yeah, it's great.
Welcome, Rio, to this sacred space.
Thank you.
I'm excited to have you. I think first time I met you was actually watching one of the football games.
That's right.
I think Toby and I came. That's quite a ways back, too.
Also ways back. Yeah, Scott, I met a few times. Yeah, you came to my football game, which was really cool.
Yeah, it was dope to see that the Netherlands has it on a collegiate level. I really thought that was awesome.
You would never think.
No,
although
no.
It's not a collegiate level. It's kind of like an amateur league.
They mix it, right?
But
don't put yourself down like that, Rhea.
Yeah, I played Division I.
Professional collegiate.
I did get recruited.
National level Dutch.
Five-star recruit.
It's no biggie.
Yeah, I know. We're real humble about it.
Yeah. Take what you can get.
Do you want to go ahead then, Matt?
Yeah, so I'm Matthew. I'm 21. I'm from Belgium. And then I met the guys through the fraternity we're all in. I lived with Rio for a year. He had the great privilege to live with me for a year.
I don't know about that, man.
And then, same as Rio, just finishing now my bachelor's in economics. So in my last year, also just finishing my thesis and then all done.
Oh, cool. And you're at SBE then?
Yeah, exactly.
Dope. I graduated with my master's there last year, did my bachelor's there beforehand. So.
All right, nice.
But you did economics, so that's different.
Yeah, what did
that's
you do?
That's like, you're the 10% of the faculty. Like, everybody else does IB.
IB, yeah. What did you do, IB?
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah, it's okay. Get to somewhere.
Where are you at now?
I work at Boston Scientific. So I wrote my master thesis in the company, like the thesis internship program. And it gave me a foot in the door and like practical experience writing my thesis on something less just abstract and theoretical, because that kind of bored me. So this was really fun, like working on projects, doing surveys in the company and essentially assessing psychological safety at work. Now I'm Boston Scientific. Yeah, I'm kind of doing that.
Cool. You're a working man now.
Yeah, I'm a made man. I'm financially independent.
You might have heard him say he is Boston Scientific now. You're talking to Mr. Boston Scientific. So this is Ulysses Boston Scientific.
Shout out to that one community episode where Subway has a corpo humanization, I think the process is called, and Subway shows up as a person at school. That's me.
Yeah,
now.
It's hilarious.
And Boston Scientific.
Well, so it's interesting. I didn't think it would go this way because both of you introduced yourselves and you went, okay, well, I'm French, I'm Belgian, which is, I think both of you really have, you know, not to say Belgium and France aren't interesting, considering how the Euros are going, but both of you kind of have a bit more of a background story there, don't you?
Yeah, I don't know how you do it, Matt, but I just say France out of just like ease.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just easier. Yeah. There's nothing worse. So, okay, so basically, I'm Belgian. Both my parents were fully Belgian, but they moved to Dubai when just before me and my brothers were born. So it's to avoid saying, "Oh yeah, I'm from Dubai," then you get the reactions like, "Oh,
where's your Ferrari?" Yeah,
yeah. It's either where's your Ferrari or where's your camel? Like, which one of the two is yours? What's your support?
Now, which would you choose?
So are they classist or racist, pretty much?
I heard Ferrari now farms camels too, actually.
There we go. So, but yeah, so grew up in Dubai. I did 1 year in Qatar as well. But my whole life was spent in the Middle East, in a British school.
And is that due to parents' jobs? Military, it sounds like?
No, so my dad's an engineer, actually. So for Dubai, Qatar is like a bit of a playground. So he did he did 25 years there. So my parents actually just left this summer. Yeah, everything always in Dubai. And then I went straight from Dubai to Maastricht.
Yeah, it must have been a big change. Fucking
where?
Swapping the highest buildings in the world for barely fifth story.
The lab.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I heard the highest peak in like the whole Netherlands is actually where we are. It's St. Peter's.
Is it?
It's the highest point.
Is that officially the highest point
in the Netherlands? Yeah.
Because it's the closest to the other countries that have higher grounding.
Exactly. Which made me absolutely. Yeah.
That's sad.
It's sad and amazing because we've experienced it, you know?
Oh, hey, 50 meters of it.
Who can say? God damn it, man. I was going to say, you know,
it's probably like tsunami
the highest points
that are taller.
Yeah, it is fucking 50 meters, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Matt, I was wondering, I was like, damn, you're Belgian, but your English is like, if you take all the Belgians that I know and compare their English, you're not Belgian. That's what was kind of confusing there. Oh, Brit. Okay. Easy.
British school. So most at school is really international always. But ultimately a lot of British, like all British teachers, my girlfriend's British, and so it's as British as you can get without being British.
And do you speak French or Flemish then with your parents?
Yeah, so at home French. But even like my brothers, mostly it's in English, to the discontent of my parents. But yeah, mostly even English at home. Yeah, so that's a bit of my background.
Awesome. Rio, how about you elaborate on your I'm French?
Yeah, for myself, well, I am French, but I was born in San Francisco in the States. And I mean, I only spent about 2 years there when my family moved to France. I think to be closer to my mom's family or something, not too sure. But anyways, after that, I basically just grew up in France, normal French high school, normal French friends. But yeah, my dad made sure to make me speak English so I wouldn't sound like the Belgian / French you mentioned.
Like Matt, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because you have an American accent.
That's right, yeah.
That's interesting though, because that means our stories are very similar. I mean, wait, your parents are both French?
No, my dad's American.
Okay, see, like my dad's also American. My mom went over, met him, and when I was two, we moved from Atlanta back to Germany and like mostly raised here. But like, it's very similar.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly that.
I get it too, though. I usually just say I'm half-half and then like, I just shut up afterwards. I don't want to talk longer.
Yeah, I don't get the half-half because then it's like, It always goes, so where are you from? I'll just go Belgium. And,
yeah.
Like, you gotta pick what's that accent then? How do you
mostly I pick American, to be honest. Mostly part
of American.
Yeah, I just say I connect more with the American side. I don't know.
You know, yeah, I'll say France, and then but I feel more American, to be honest.
But like in the situation, France is more. It's less like attention seeking because an American in Europe, it's like and then you kind of just let them down because you only lived there for 2 years and you don't want to disappoint in your storytelling.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I feel that,
man. So. Before all this introduction started, what I was wanting to say is, so we went what was sold to me as a pub crawl last night, right? And then pretty much ended up us visiting a single bar, staying there the entire night. And we had a couple of friends with us, right? And one of them would, I'm not sure if either of you met our former housemate, Laurent, but every time the waiter showed up, he would go, "Can we have 5 shots of tequila, please?" Uh-oh. Right. And by the end of the night, we had a tequila bill, which was pretty much half of what we spent on everything else.
It was $50.
Yeah, like $50 tequila bill. So I don't know, man. I feel like that's pretty explanatory of how things went. But then the Netherlands also opened up yesterday, right?
Oh, right. Did you experience any of that?
I didn't do anything. Did you guys have to get tested to go to the bar? Because now you got to get tested, right, to go out?
Yeah. I thought that was somewhere. That was not everywhere.
I got tested and didn't go out. That was my evening activity.
Oh, fuck this. Nah.
Yeah. But it was pretty funny, dude. In the testing, it's just like all students... and they're practically partying as they're getting tested already, you know? Everyone's so happy to finally be able to go out again.
Yeah, I heard that in Amsterdam, the system crashed because there were so many people storming it and, like, they couldn't process the tests anymore. So they had a huge delay. Uh-oh. Yeah, just because of all the party people. To our pub crawl, Toby, I wanted to add, it was a pub crawl.
We
walked to the bar, but on the way we stopped at a night shop and got a beer. So we sat down in the park. So we did have two stops.
Yeah, that's a few stops.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
If we count your place, we had 4 stops, you know, because we left from there and drank there during the game.
Mind you, we left smashed too. So
Matthew, was it you who did the golf? What is that? The golf pub?
Yeah, we did pub golf with a few.
Pub golf, right? What is that?
Golf. Pub golf? So it's like the pub crawl, but like in each of the pubs, you have a different type of drink. So it could be a pint, a shot, a cocktail, whatever it is. And then you get like a certain par, right? So it's like you have to finish your drink in 2 sips, for example.
Oh, God.
So you just down your drinks and just move on. It was a disaster.
And then you do 18 holes. You play 18 holes.
So this one we did, I think, 9 or 10. But to be honest, we had a few survivors only. I barely made it home.
Wow.
The girls, not one girl managed to get past hole 7. And then there were tears. There was...
I don't wanna. It sounds like one of those things where you go into it incredibly pumped and confident, and then you realize how fucking hard it is to chug a beer in like 2 sips when it's really cold and you're not feeling
exactly.
You know, and then you realize I have to do this 8 more times.
After the first drink, people were like, "Yeah, awesome," and then you get to the second part, you're like, "Oh no."
We did like games, but like loads of rules. Like, for example, if you spilled any drink, you had to take like. I was walking around the city with like vodka in my backpack. Every time sometimes someone spilled something, just take a shot. It was just...
Because it wasn't enough alcohol already.
No, I was going to say,
the one thing you want more of is alcohol in that situation, you know? And someone eager to make other people drink. Good combination.
Yeah, no, that was a good laugh. That's the last kind of pub crawl I've done.
That's a good concept, man. That's like innovating the pub crawl game.
Yeah, we were all dressed like golfers as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I would have been there for that. That's
I did a pub crawl before for my friend Charlie when I was working in the UK, who was moving away. And I was a bit late. So I arrived, I think, on hole 3 or something. And they're like, "Yeah, we're getting cocktails and we have to finish them in like 4 sips. I was like, "Okay, easy. These guys are pussies." They were getting the Weatherspoons cocktail pitchers.
Yeah.
Madness.
The British are built differently.
That's absolute madness, man. And it's not like they were able to drink more than any of us would have been at that moment, man. They were just fully accepting the fact that they were fucking not making that night.
Once the British step inside Wetherspoons, they turn into different beasts.
We're on vacation, man. I got an all-inclusive vacation with my girlfriend in September, and I'm just looking forward to being an English person. It's my dream. I want to. I fantasized about it. I can't wait to be one of those way too red, bald, not bald, hopefully not bald.
Hooligans.
Like hooligans, just like super, you know, like the pregnant belly and
the giant gut.
You know, pigging out on the buffet lines. I cannot wait.
Sounds like my grad trip, kind of. Where are you going on holiday?
Well, I hope it's still going to be possible, but Gran Canaria. Nice. Or Canary Islands.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be good. Nice. Just to, I don't know, see something else than just my living room.
Yeah.
That's a nice living room.
Yeah, but, you know, I work, live, and, you know, do everything in here. That sounds wrong. I don't really leave this room.
Scott, put your pants back on.
Wearing my cool Star Wars pajama pants.
There you go.
They glow in the dark, and then Darth Vader's lightsabers glow up.
Okay, yeah. I was so prepared to ridicule this. That's
please do now ridicule this. This will be on the record, Toby, and your credibility in the future will be questioned.
Oh no, my scientific integrity.
Exactly.
What will I do?
Whatever your thesis is going to be or your PhD, man, they're going to go back and like see this comment and be like, I don't know.
You guys have any plans for summer? Anything exciting?
Yeah, I was going to mention it, right? Because you guys are also looking to go to Belgium around the 2nd. And I'm going on the 3rd with a group of friends. And we were looking today because they're bringing out new regulations. And they're meant to change more tomorrow. So we're kind of sitting here, fingers crossed. Okay, hopefully everything will work.
Especially in Belgium, things change every few days.
In Belgium. I think the things in Belgium are kind of going back, though. It's like not a risk country.
Yeah, it's
anymore.
Looking good. It's looking good. It's more like, will they accept the Netherlands as like, you know, a safe to travel from country?
Man, that's the one country in Europe I wouldn't, honestly.
Really not Portugal, which has been declared an official
Portugal, they're not in the EU Delta anymore. Zone? They don't qualify.
Oh, I heard that too, right? It's
strong, true political statements coming right at you.
You know what Portugal said? They're like, hey, you know who's doing it right? The British.
British. Yeah, they did it right.
You guys see the health minister in the UK who had to resign?
Yes.
It's such a disaster.
Wait, is this the same guy that was, I don't know, like during lockdown rules, he hugged someone and then it turned out that he was actually having an affair with her?
I don't know if it's the same guy who did the hug. He was like the one who's like saying, yeah, like avoid sexual contact. Like if you are having sex, have one partner. And then it turns out he's been having an affair for the past few months or whatever it is. Like, what is going on?
Absolutely. Oh my God.
Lead by example, fellas.
You guys watched Little Britain?
I have.
You guys remember? No. They had this segment. There weren't much of it, but they had the segment of like a political official doing press conferences, always with his wife and children next to him. And he'd say things like, so at the time I was approaching my office, was when I noticed that there was a catering trolley, suspiciously positioned outside. Now, as a fellow citizen of this country, I try to minimize rubbish whenever I can and thought I'd help out. Unfortunately, I slipped. The cart flushed into my office with me on it. On the way there, my pants got stuck on my doorbell, ripped off, and I fell into my assistant. My wife Margaret is devastated.
Terrible.
It reminded me of that so fucking much, man. So
my
good
wife Margaret is devastated. I love that part.
That reminds me of have you guys seen Borat 2?
Yeah
with the Rudy Giuliani scene.
Uh-huh.
Oh man,
yeah,
that was absolutely...
a disgrace.
I think we did have an episode a week after the movie came out, and we talked about it, and I remember saying I just felt so sad that most of the movie, like where they were showing true people in the US, I was just sad. Like it was just sad. It was past the point of being funny.
Yeah,
it's
sad to a point where it's fascinating, you know. You're like,
Oof.
But yeah, cap it off with that's
it's a good finale.
That was really good.
I found it
better than the first movie even.
Really? No, I prefer the first one, but I was expecting the second one to be way worse than it was. I feel like it's hard to follow up the first one.
Sequels are always tough.
I wasn't too convinced by the second one until he starts living with those with the two clowns.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Is that it?
They were so cool, man. That made me
They
happy.
Were nice
was,
guys.
Yeah. I was like, that's funny. But Rio, you probably didn't see Borat immediately. You probably watched it later, the first one, right?
Definitely. Well, I watched it when I was like 12 or something, and I don't think I got it. I didn't even know they were like non-staged. And then I rewatched it as I was older.
Because I watched it initially when I was a bit older, and it didn't hit me as, I don't know, it just didn't. The second one I liked a lot more.
Yeah. But man, quite genius.
God, Rudy. God.
He's got his license revoked now, doesn't he?
And he had his zipper down.
Wow. Yeah, for the microphone.
He was just readjusting.
Yeah, because that's...
For legal reasons, he was just rearranging his shirt.
He was rearranging.
Like, not me. I did not say anything.
They told me.
For a hungover person, you're going hard, huh? With the corona
Yeah. I'm enjoying life.
It's the best fix for a hangover.
I've noticed it too, man. I took Toby left this morning, and then Laurent and I just immediately opened a Radler. And the moment I took a drink, it was great. I felt already a tad better. Then I just laid in bed for the rest of the day.
It's just delaying the hangover, and then you feel worse and worse every day.
Yeah. I'm going to definitely go to bed early, watch the game in bed. The Netherlands is playing right now. I have no idea. I know it was tied at halftime.
It's 0-0. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm being professional, I swear, but the game is on in the background.
I was thinking of doing the same.
It's 0-0, but De Ligt from Holland just got sent off.
Ouch. Wow, yeah, very professional. You didn't have any kind of reaction. I didn't even see you muted you didn't go crazy or anything.
If you guys want me to do like a professional commentator and give you the big updates.
Oh,
like,
go on.
Okay, have you ever noticed, real quick though, about commentators when you're watching soccer or any sport really? Actually, in the NBA, they do a pretty good job, but like soccer, it's so easy, and the specialists they have and the stuff they point out is like shit. I just usually tell my friends when we're watching, and 2 seconds later, they say the same shit. And it's like, oh yeah, this guy was there earlier, and this guy is doing this, and he now plays for this team. It's
Ronaldo is a very good player. Clearly.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, that was a good goal. Yeah, thank you, man. I know, but like we could tell.
Yeah,
I don't respect them.
They're more like just bring a little energy. I don't know. It's like when you put a sitcom, behind just for sound when you do work or something.
I
see it as the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. Oh, yeah, fair. But that's why Community and Parks and Rec are my two favorite shows, because they don't have laugh bits in the back.
Laugh tracks, right?
I hate laugh tracks, man. Yeah, it's all dead people you're listening to. It was recorded in the 20s. So think about that the next time you're watching Friends.
What a terrible thought.
You're listening to Ghosts.
Not so funny anymore, is
that's
it?
Terrible. Yeah.
Laugh at that, motherfuckers.
Oh my God.
Man, that's the last thing 2.5 men needed.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. Videos of the TV shows where they cut out the laugh tracks. And it's the most awkward thing you can imagine.
Doesn't it have Friends? Joey is not Joey. Ross is a serial killer when you cut the laugh tracks out.
Yeah.
He just stares at people really long after making jokes, and they never laugh.
Sandwich. Yeah.
Guys, I bring you some breaking news. It is 1-0 Czech Republic.
Oh.
And they're playing.
Boy. The Dutch are crying.
They should be. No, I had them going far, man. Fuck, I had them.
Yeah, they're
mad. Final four.
They have no excuse for not getting far. Their side of the draw is
apparently
not too bad.
Go Czech Republic.
I have the perfect sticker for this, which none of our audience
we should visually talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. As we always do, talk about visual things on a podcast.
It's a sticker of a piece of Gouda, and that is crying.
Not so Gouda. Do not tell me it says not so Gouda.
No, it doesn't. It says, what does it say? Howlende kaasgeluiden, which translates to crying cheese noises.
Fucking hell, so stupid.
Crying cheese noises is perfect for anybody from Wisconsin. For American football, those are the cheese heads.
The
Green
cheese
Bay
heads.
Packards. Yeah.
Green Bay.
So that works well.
Yeah. Scott, how is your Dutch? Do you speak
in Bitje.
No, you.
I didn't. That was not promising. I don't speak Dutch, but just the pronunciation.
I don't know how to say I don't speak Dutch in Dutch, so I go with that. And I think
that's the only sentence I know.
For 4 years, so I don't think it's possible for me to pick it up in that short a time.
I lived 18 years in the Middle East, and all I can say is a few animals and fruit, so don't worry.
Well, I think Dutch is not on the same level.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So,
yeah. If you guys want to test me on my animals and fruit.
Yeah, what's pear?
Mate, you don't even do a simple fruit. You could have said like apple, you know what I mean? Or
mate.
What's elephant?
Pear is all I
feel. Feel.
Feel is elephant?
Yeah, there you go, guys.
A colleague at work has been telling me, like trying to teach me a couple of things, but I'm still stuck at Salam alaikum and alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, that's it. That's my knowledge.
The problem with Arabic is this as well, is like there's so many different types of Arabic, and like it would be a really useful language, but like depending on where you go, they don't understand different types of Arabic.
Do they have dialects?
Yeah, like a massive amount.
And as well, there's a written Arabic and a spoken Arabic. It's a bit of a...
But funnily enough, like Slovakian languages are considered the toughest to learn on, like...
Really?
I don't know what basis these are done on, but like because they have 7 or 8 different time forms, and that's what's crazy about it. I don't know why Chinese. That's more of an art form anyway. If you like the science, honestly, like I couldn't even. I'm not even good at drawing shit, so like it'd be like Pictionary, the whole thing. Texting would be Pictionary with me in Chinese.
Man, the host lab I'm going to in Japan, they were very sweet and made me a hanko. Which is like a stamp with your name and kanji on it. And they showed me the kanji they came up with, right? Which is very sweet. On the other hand, I now have to sit down and learn how to paint that.
Oh.
And they are 5 very intricate kanji. And I'm, okay. One of them is a box with more kanji inside it. So I have to draw a box and then draw a full kanji inside the box. Yeah.
Damn.
When is it that you go to Japan, Toby?
Ideally September, early September I want to go, but depends a bit on the visa situation.
Fair enough. That'd be super
exciting. I was wondering, how do they text? How do they text kanji?
I've never seen a lot of kanji texting. You can get a keyboard which has the hiragana on it for the phone, and then you text per syllable. But beyond that, I wouldn't know. I can get it. I download
the hiragana. What I know from having been in Japan couple times and a friend there, Japan has different alphabets. I don't know what they're called, the
hiragana, you guys, katagana,
but kanji. You have essentially a Latin alphabet for it, so like a lot of people type that way, and then you have like a sign by letter kind of thing, and they type with that, and often the suggestion then pops up as the sign, the proper sign. But like I think there's even ways to have proper keyboard up, like Toby said.
Yes.
That's where suggestive texting is really useful.
Yeah.
It's the hiragana keyboard, and you can press on any of these and it'll show you the related syllables. And then you either swipe up or down. And then you select the hiragana like that.
Damn.
And they also have, if I'm correct, they have exactly suggested text for kanji then, and for emojis, and you can also access like romaji.
Of course for emojis. You figure in the sign languages, they draw their emojis. Like they would have always been there 1,000 years ago, even in the old scrolls, like that you would still find emojis because they just draw their stuff anyway. It'd be funny.
True.
Although I guess the Egyptians did it first. Yeah, Matt, what up?
How's your Japanese been going, Toby? Because you've been taking lessons, right?
I have been. It is not very good yet.
No?
Because it not is fluent?
Do you know what elephant? Go on, you tell
elephant.
Me what elephant.
Do you know
is.
Pear?
Pear, yeah.
Elephant or pear? I've got you beat.
I feel like I might know what elephant means. I feel like that showed up on Duolingo a couple of times, but I don't remember. Even if I do, I don't remember now.
Fair.
You're welcome is onagashimasu, something like that.
Onagashimasu.
Yeah, there's a.
Oh, I know, but I don't know because of my Japanese lessons. I know because of One Piece.
Because of the character.
Well, because One Piece has an island which is just a giant walking elephant, and the island is called Elephant, which is Zo.
Zo.
Well done.
Slightly underwhelming.
Yep.
A little bit. I would have expected a longer word considering it's long in our language.
You'd consider elephant a long word?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty long.
Above average.
for sure.
Right? Like apple, pear, banana's a long word.
Banana's quite a long word.
But banana's still shorter than elephant, I think. I don't know.
We need a fact checker.
No, please, no there, fact checker.
Funnily enough, I actually watched this, and this is funny. I really recommend you do look this up later and watch the highlights for the National Spelling Bee Championship. It happened like yesterday, and it was a record-setting event, but there was like some hilarious highlights from it. And yeah, that's essentially where we were just going, trying to spell shit.
Wow.
So ESPN for the record, covered it, dude. ESPN won.
ESPN.
It was on like...
What do you mean ESPN won?
ESPN has so many like ESPN seven ESPN channels.
You never heard of ESPN 8, the odd show?
I think they even have like ESPN Spanish channels or Mexican channels that are purely dedicated. They have a lot. But yeah, it was on their main channel.
What's the longest word you guys know? Here's a good...
I'm
not having it.
I got one for you, which is which is the longest town name in Welsh.
In Wales.
Names don't count.
I was thinking that was from Dungeons and Dragons or something.
could be. Wales is just a Dungeons and Dragons campaign. So I've heard.
Maybe that's how the creators thought of it, like when they were kind of, you know, great in the country.
Maybe. What is the longest word you know?
I was going to say banana, but I think we established elephants longer. So.
Oh, wait. In German, it's very easy.
Oh, Rindfleisch-Etikettierungs...
Krankenwagen-Sanierungsmittel.
That's pretty long.
You could put any kind of subjects together in German to form a word, which is nice. So
yeah, but not every word you create like that is an actual word.
It just has to make sense. There's no limit on it in German.
If it's not in the dictionary, it doesn't count.
Yeah, the longest German, at least I think it's the longest German word in the dictionary. I might be wrong. I'm looking it up and it's on Victionary. Which might be different, is Rindfleisch-Etikettierungsüberwachungsaufgabenübertragungsgesetz.
Fair enough.
Which is...
What does that mean?
That's an excellent question.
It means... I think it was something technology used to watch your cows.
Well, viewer retention.
Wow.
Viewer retention has just plummeted after this conversation.
I doubt if anybody manages it to the end of the episode, please text us.
Hey man, we had three episodes in a row that was essentially just us doing this. And what? The viewership should survive that, so they'll survive this.
Do you guys
how many viewers, by the way, do you guys get?
That's
or do you know?
Question. It's an excellent question. I haven't looked
like
into
10
it.
10 and 20. Well, 10 to the range has been 10
well,
to.
We've had a few that.
A few that hit like 60, 70 over time, but
we recently hit over 750 views total, so something like that. So we're not, it's not huge,
not huge, but it's where
no,
we want to be.
That's really cool. Yeah.
There's like 10 friends that hook up every time.
Hey to the 10 people listening.
They're all rural fans.
I had a question. What was your favorite guest so far? Who's it been? Why?
Oh, that's so tough. That's a good question, though. You guys are doing the interview, kind of, I feel. But you're doing a great job. We also got guest interview.
I just want to say, I looked up how many letters there is in Rindfleisch-Etikettierungsüberwachungsaufgabenübertragungsgesetz, and it's
47.
63.
Yeah.
Yo, that's longer than elephant.
I don't know, dude.
That's a several elephants long.
That's big, though.
Favorite guest. I think there's been several really cool ones, but they all have different vibes because what's cool is we don't script the shit. So like we just kind of get drunk and vibe off each other. So everything is its own story, I guess. But the episode with Pre-Talks Band was hilarious, as well as with Cigar Club.
Like, I was going to say Cigar Club, yeah.
Those two were like really fun episodes, to say the least. Just because, I don't know, it was just randomly meeting bands that we had like, you know, follow for follow thing on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I saw them, and when they followed, instead of following back, I just said, yo, you want to come on the show? And luckily enough, they said yes a couple times. And they're releasing an album in August. So they're going to come back on the show then. And we're really excited. That's Cigar Club. They're a really dope band. You should check them out.
Mind you, Pedro, I really enjoyed talking to
that Pedro. He did a live mix at the end of the really? Show wow. and closed it out and just wow. made something up. And
we're still underwhelming, Rio. You have some cool party trick at the end.
I was thinking of what we could talk about, and I guess the fraternity, maybe.
Yeah, however far you want to go into detail, go for it.
Are we the first from the fraternity to be on the
podcast? The entire frat was in the pilot, which got never uploaded because we only recorded the video, not the audio. Because we recorded it during
You were even on it
during Daniel's during Daniel's and Alex's hazing.
Nice.
And we had them in the background doing some stupid shit, and me just sitting there recording a podcast episode.
Oh, cool.
It was funny for me because I was just seeing a different head pop in every few minutes, and it was a wild conversation. It's very interesting.
Guys, I interrupt 1 second with some more breaking news.
Oh no.
It's now
I'm seeing it.
2-0. It's game over.
You know what? I'm happy.
Nogan and the Koken. Am I right? Because it's all over.
Nogan and the Koken. All over. That'll be the title of the episode today.
There we go. I have I'm next to my kitchen if you guys if you want to see that.
If you want a Koken. I'm going to get another beer.
So will I. Matt and Rio, entertain our audio viewership.
Matt, what are you drinking?
So we had the Grolsch. It's finished.
Okay.
We're now going for it's called Orval.
Okay.
True Belgian boy. And that's me.
Man.
That is me.
I'm in my girlfriend's kitchen, but I don't think she has beer. All I see is this alcohol-free IPA.
Technically, no. IPA doesn't qualify as beer.
Well, it's alcohol-free, too.
That's also fair. What are you drinking? I guess you're drinking nothing. Is that what you were trying?
I'm on the water.
You're on the water. That's always a good choice.
So boring.
Considering I'm on a hangover, this is my next beer.
It's a German Should we do? Classic. Are we doing ASMR beer opening?
Yeah. Wait. 1, 2, 3.
Oh.
That was not at the same time.
It was not meant to be at the same time. You can't have ASMR and then do more than one thing at the same time.
Okay, thoughts on ASMR though?
Disgusting.
What ASMR?
My girlfriend listens to it to fall asleep every night. She's like, you have to try. But like, you know when they're like, just creeps me out. Like, I don't want anyone whispering in my ear.
No, you can't have ASMR with voices or with anything that is wet. So there's people who do like cooking ASMR.
When they eat.
To explain to the average viewer what ASMR is real quick.
Scott, our average viewer is going to know what ASMR is much better than us.
Okay.
If you want to go ahead, I'd actually quite like to hear your explanation.
I'm not. You guys are the med students, so I don't.
Can you give us a little ASMR piece?
Well, in my best Ron Swanson impression, which I perfected last night, ASMR is a method. It is four letters that are not one word. They are an abbreviation. Just because I'm talking about them does not mean I am in any way affiliated with this or any profiting organization from it. Thank you. That's my description of ASMR.
Wow, Ron. Ron, how nice to have you here.
Thank you.
That being said, I have no clue what ASMR is still.
Neither. I just looked it up on the side. I thought you guys actually knew and were getting into details, and I felt... I have no idea. It's an autonomous sensory meridian response. Sometimes autosensory meridian response is a tingling sensation that typically begins on the scalp and moves down the back of the neck and upper spine, a pleasant form of paresthesia. It has been compared with auditory tactile synesthesia and may overlap with frisson. I have no idea what half those words meant.
So that is the effect that it aims for, and what ASMR is, I think, in pop culture is more like people speaking very calmly or people performing tasks very calmly with a very focused microphone to only pick up the noises that are right there. And essentially it leads to an audio stimulation that is like that is meant to be very calming and bring out this ASMR effect. So in essence, it's people going, it's so nice to have everyone here today. Or like, you know, doing opening something.
That is really pleasant.
Opening something in front of a
I feel a tingling.
In front of a focal position of a microphone, which then only translates that noise into the audio format. So you don't have like a whole audio background, you just have one noise continuously, and it's meant to be very calming.
One noise.
One world. Yes, in effect, what it means is there's a bunch of people who do weird shit in front of it. And I don't mind like nature ASMR, these sort of things. But there's people who like cut, you know, like raw meat on ASMR. And it's just...
It's people who play with honey and it goes...
Oh. Right. That's a whole new level.
There's also, listen, I've seen like Rumor on the Grapevine. Not that I listen to it. Cool. Also, you'll get porn ASMR. You get whatever you want. ASMR.
Oh, that was what I was thought. Yeah. That's what I thought it was coming until he went to cutting meat, and I was like, okay.
But legend has it.
I mean, pretty sure there's probably a Reddit thread for that.
Yeah, for sure.
I really wouldn't be surprised.
Just gonna guess it. It's probably ASMR porn.
ASMR porn or ASMR Wait, let me check NSFW. It, actually.
Giving us the confirmation.
Yeah, fact checking.
We are eagerly waiting.
Yeah, but we were talking about the fraternity. So I joined.
Oh, that's right.
I joined later on. Toby and Rhea, you guys were the founders. How do you guys think it's changed since the early days? What's it called?
It's called ASMR porn, and it has 2,500 members.
There we go.
Oh, that's less than I expected.
Oh, that's not that same. Much.
No, it's not that. But ASMR sex had a lot more.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. But hey, it's there.
Yeah, I'm not. I think it changed me more because it was kind of an outlet for. You know, kind of the wilder side of student life, even though I'm not the wildest student you'll ever meet. I've said it, I think, Matt, I said it when we were planning your hazing, mm-hmm. is that I wanted to be in... I think I froze.
No, you're fine.
No, it's all good.
No, yeah. He froze.
No, I froze. Now I'm back. Oh. It was when we were planning your hazing, Matt, that I said, this will give me a chance to see if I'm really an asshole.
Turns out the answer is yes.
Matt, tell us about that experience, and how about you compare it to the Florida level news stories we've heard about hazing?
Well, we're fine in that short.
Yeah, no, to be honest,
our battery hookups.
Ours is absolutely it's fine. Because I did like when I was younger at school, I had to do like the rugby hazings, which
probably which worse.
That one was more like, it was like one night and it's just like, it's loads of drinking, you know what I mean? It's just like, but it's kind of, I always say like these kind of things, if you go in with kind of the right attitude and you just take it as a laugh, as long as it's not something as you, like, completely ridiculous. Like,
dehumanizing.
Exactly. Yeah. Then it's just going with a laugh. The CS1 was just, I got to a point where I was just like, I got better shit to do, you know what I mean? So it's just like, towards the end, it was tough for me. And I was just like, I'm sick of this now. Like, I'm done. But otherwise, it was okay. And I think I did it with two other guys who were, I would say, more motivated than I was. So that helped a lot as well, just to like drag me through the bullshit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I remember you three. It was the Wednesday before it was over. And you three took... took Rhea and myself, I believe, actually, to the side and outside, and we're like, hey, look, this is really, you know, we're this close to breaking. We can't do it anymore. It's just too much stuff going on. And we were standing there like, hey, you know, that's respectable. And, you know, you just got to push through it. And if there's anything we can do, knowing fully way, like 2 days down the road, we were going to drive you to, to the house to like initiate, and, like have a good time together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolute bastards.
The tension, man. The tension. It has to be there.
Matthew, did you suspect at any point that it was nearly done?
I'd say towards the end, because we won't name them. We had one or two of the guys who I think were snitches, you know, who helped us through it towards the end.
Wow.
Oh, you should. Do you want to mention those? I think that would be some hot press.
I think we know who the snitches are. Michael Lucas.
Yeah. Okay.
But I feel like the reason I asked the question originally was like, if you felt like you'd seen a big change in the fraternity itself. I feel like even when I joined from till now, like a year and a half, I feel like the vibes changed quite a lot. I think it was natural, they're right, with new people joining, and like as well the original members leaving and being replaced by new ones. I like the vibes changed quite a bit recently, but
well, yeah, know, definitely. People
change, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say since we're not an established structure, we're very new. I think people really dictate like what the vibe is or the fundamentals of it are.
Whatever's popular.
Yeah. Yeah, it has changed. I don't know. It's different. The first year, it was a lot of just, we did a lot more work because it was a lot of building, a lot of
discussing. I do a lot of work, personally.
Yeah.
But that's probably a lot of the fun, right? starting a frat is like doing the building. Is like, I remember because I was living with Toby the whole time and then I was getting wind of the whole like building of it. And it's that sounded pretty cool.
Oh, that's like, the thing. It's super exciting. Yeah, yeah. When you start to, you know, like buy the ties and everything comes together.
Yeah, and also like planning, giving input on the hazing and stuff. It was interesting to hear about your progress.
Did I remember live in the crack house.
Yeah, man, I'm the king of the crack
Scott's
house.
Scott's the OG crack house, man.
I'm the
Scott
OG.
Found the crack house.
Yeah.
Part of my hazing was to clean the crack house. I've never
right. Oh my God, that was so great. I remember that. I was sitting on the couch all day and just like chilling.
Oh, I remember that.
And I think, were you supposed to even dress up? Wasn't there a part of that?
No.
Or no, we addressed you with a certain name. You changed your name, I think.
Something demeaning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It was like, we'll be clean for like 2 hours. We got like €4. You know, I'm like, yes.
Was that as part of the money collecting?
Yeah. I feel completely worthless.
That was so good, though.
I remember when we did that. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but we have this. I mean, screw it. We have this challenge where like we have to gather all this money just by working odd jobs or like, you know, begging people for money or something.
Well, ideally, you don't
ideally
have to.
Ideally, you don't beg. But we went to this one bar. When in Paris, I was with a friend and we asked if we could work. And the lady's like, oh, yeah, sure. But that's funny. Some other person just came. But I think he was homeless or something. And turns out it was another pair from the fraternity. It was Alex.
It was Alex and me, yes.
Yeah, and I wonder how bad must he have like come through so that she thought he was homeless, you know?
I can understand why someone seeing Toby would be like, not this homeless guy again.
Especially at the time when
either
I still
a researcher
had longer,
or a homeless person.
Longer, wilder hair and a more unkempt beard.
Mind you, we were also sleep deprived at that point, like, you know, not enjoying life.
Ryu got so angry during his, he smashed his phone to pieces.
Yeah.
Also because of me, right?
Also because of Toby. There's a kind of a common denominator here.
It's me, the homeless man.
Yeah, Jesus. I got so mad that I decided to throw my phone. But I did think of like, if I throw my phone, it'll break. So I decided to throw it in my bed. But what I hadn't realized is that Stefan, our other friend, was dying of some type of poisoning in my bed. So as I'm throwing it, I'm like, oh shit, he's in my bed. I'm not gonna hit him with my phone. So I just chuck it to the side and it explodes. Yeah.
Samsung, batteries for life.
Yep.
If it was a Samsung, you probably should be thankful you smashed the phone. So
if it was a Nokia, I would have had to got a new wall or something.
Yeah,
a whole new house, man. You would have had to build a new house there.
I remember trying to drill holes into the wall towards your room so that we could hang up the curtain, and it being impossible. So I'm not sure even a Nokia could have fucking broke that down.
Dude, have you never drilled with a Nokia as the bit?
I don't need holes that big.
You know, Americans have three things. They have duct tape, WD-40, and Nokia phones as drill bits.
Fair enough. All right. Scott, how often...
I only heard duct tape, and then you guys...
Go for it, Ria. Go for it.
I was just going to ask Scott if he ever goes back to the States,
Well, not in the last year.
Well, okay, fair.
Well, let's see. We used to go visit my granddad every year until it passed in the summer. And then I went there for a year in high school. Did a year abroad. That was cool. Then I got into studies and haven't. And then I went with my dad once in 2018. And I went to New York early 2019. And I haven't been back since. I still have to go back and like visit my friends from that high school year. Shout out to all of them on the West Coast. Do an amazing job, a lot of them. So I can't wait to get back there. And I'm planning on it in the next year or so. But yeah, I try. I'm going to now that I make money, it's high on my list of an annual thing to do. For yeah, sure.
There you go.
You don't go back that often either, do you, Ray?
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up.
Yeah, I mean, for myself, yeah, like Scott said, having money will help with that. whenever I would go, to Hawaii to visit my family. So that's where my family is on my dad's side. My man, we used to go like every year when I was like, you know, young, but now it's kind of hard. It's more expensive.
It's tough now, man. Yeah, it's like...
Yeah.
I don't know. Although, yeah, you can get really shit flights. We flew to New York, Ichio, the friend I was talking about in Japan, and I, we went for a week and we flew with Norwegian Airlines, and they're like the Ryanair of long distance. And we flew there and you need to like book food, everything you have to pay for. So like all the normal services, not there. You have to pay for a movie or some like shit is free, but like even like carry-on bags. So we just went with a backpack for a week and just packed it to the brim.
Yeah.
And it costs, I think, 330 euro per person there and back. So it was 600, under 700 euro for the both of us round trip.
Yeah, that's really good.
So you can still get some cheap shit, but like, it's not comfortable. You're not going to have a good flight.
I feel like it's harder as well. Like before, you probably used to go with your family, right, Rhea? And now like, you probably and your sister like have like your own plans, and then it's harder to get like data aligned with everyone.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, I'm here, she's in Canada, so it's hard to
coordinate that. But how long has your sister lived there?
Yeah, she just went there. She's studying there. She started, you know, studying when the whole pandemic hit, so she had the pandemic experience. But she's doing fine. Yeah, she's at what's it called? McGill.
Nice.
McGill University?
McGill University.
Oh.
I feel like it. I've maybe heard of it.
Okay.
It sounded like an author of a book or something. Like a scientific book.
Interesting. Canada. That really sucks for a lot of people, though, in terms of like COVID. Their uni experience has been, especially people entering in their first year.
Yeah, it must be really
tough. Just got taken away. You don't have any people you can find. Like Maastricht was largely empty in terms of first year.
But it's that thing. Imagine you're in your first year and then it's
you move away and then you don't even have a chance to meet anybody.
You can't, even meet them like in class. We didn't have class. You couldn't meet them in
Because when you do Zoom class, you leave the meeting and you're back in your room. Yeah. You don't like walk down the hallway, maybe still get like a snack, or mostly the typical thing, at least coming from SBE, is you go get some food right afterwards.
Get
or
a
something.
Coffee.
Yeah, you go study together or something. You have none of that now. Like the studying together, you meet so many people through studying. And that sucks for first years.
In Maastricht, I feel like so many people, because of the small houses, so many people live by themselves, you know what I mean? And then if you live by yourself, and there's just no way to meet anyone. I think a lot of first-year students would have really struggled.
Yeah, and I think a lot of them went back home. You know, didn't even bother staying, really.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the thing. I was tutoring during the first block, during the first two blocks, and you could really see how by the end of December, most of the people I knew in that first-year course had fully moved back home. You know, because there was no point. Education became fully online again.
Yeah, and then you're just paying a fuck ton of rent in a place where you don't know anybody and you're not really allowed to see anybody. So, like, you might as well be home with your family and have some social life. I get it.
Fair, even, like, I think most of us, at least I know, I think Rio and Toby, last year when COVID began, we all went home.
I mean, it makes more sense, right? Like,
yeah, 100%.
Well, for me, my master's was ending anyway, so it was 3 months beforehand, which sucked because it just took the end of it. It hit the uni and the city got locked down the day we were going to throw our fat, like, going away, and my birthday party thing, the Big Lebowski thing.
Yeah, the Big Lebowski.
I was meant to come.
Me too. I was so excited.
Oh, it was going to be so big. And then we couldn't make it good with our conscience. Yeah.
Toby finally convinced me to watch the movie. I was getting ready. Movie was downloaded and all of a sudden he goes, oh yeah, it's cancelled. I'm like,
yeah, you and Chaz really prepared for it.
So you didn't watch it, Matt?
I didn't watch it.
You'd appreciate it, man.
I've been told even just recently. Yeah. I went, there's a new bowling place in Masha. It's actually really, really nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Is it?
Just, you know, opposite the governor, but slightly, you know where Pate Cinema is?
Yeah.
Literally right next to it. It's
I wish
nice.
I was back at the crack house, man.
It's really, really nice.
Yeah.
And I think it's, I went with some friends and they told me to watch the movie. Is it about bowling? Is that right?
The Big Lebowski.
There are some bowling scenes, yes.
Yeah, there you go. I got told.
A lot of the memes that come from that movie are from the bowling alley.
Yeah. The best scenes are in there.
The fucking, I can't, oh, I don't even know. There's a lot of funny scenes in the bowling
alley. Yeah, yeah.
I'll give it a watch.
You need to watch it.
I hadn't even considered the fact that, yeah, of course, a big chunk of the movie it happens in that bowling alley. I was just thinking Matt thought that Lebowski is related to bowling as a verb.
What does that mean?
Well, because bow and bow both start with B-O-W. I thought that's what you were on about.
Makes a lot of sense, to be fair.
Jesus, that's a stretch.
That's a weird connection. Yeah, Toby. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I'm the weird one here.
fun fact about the Big Lebowski, the bassist from the Chili Peppers, Flea, he plays in that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he plays. And there's a German band that's in that movie, and they're considered the Nihilists. That's how they're Nihilist 1, 2, and 3. And he plays one of them. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I love the Nihilists and the Big Lebowski. What a funny set of villains.
If you always forget about them. And they come back and you're like, oh, that's right.
It's funny, man. It's a funny movie, Matt. You should check it out.
I'll give it a watch.
Yeah, Matt. Homework for the day.
Yeah, exactly. Matt, next week, we want a full synopsis written.
Deal.
Right, we want a 1,000-word essay on...
No.
Courage.
And a presentation recorded with slides.
He's getting fraternity flashback.
Yeah, listen, I've written enough essays for you bastards.
Did he hand them in and you just lit them in flames? Because that would be the most satisfying evil thing to do.
No, he had to read them out.
Yeah, and then...
Answer my questions on them.
You shouldn't have even read it. And then, that would be pretty...
Having
be
now
bad?
Been on the other side of the hazing, I can guarantee you we would much rather burn those horrible essays and have to sit through them.
Hey man, I always really enjoy, because we did the hazing on ourselves, right? I really enjoyed all the essay writing and reading them out, you know?
Of course you did. Disaster. Toby's the king of asking questions, like deep, insightful questions.
Toby asked That's great definitely questions, true. I will say.
What do you mean by that?
Why?
It was a compliment. So.
I don't think that's what I was leading towards, but thank you, anyways. All right, Toby, every time.
Oh. I'm just so happy. I remember meeting you three, and I remember. I don't think in the beginning
legend has it the first time we met I ended up naked in the fraternity on a skateboard
that was your first night
that wasn't even hazing
that was just
they already decided at that point that you passed you're okay
that was optional that was just completely voluntary but
yeah
That's probably worse than anything you had to do in the hazing.
Yeah.
If they would have told you to do it in the hazing, you would have been like, yeah, okay.
I remember when we had the house party at Constantine's place and Jasper showed up with 12 guests.
Such an idiot. That was so funny.
12 Italian guests out of nowhere.
So we were still being hazed and we'd been invited to one of the guys' party. And so the other guys getting hazed was like, I know what's a good idea, just invite random people to this party. So we show up, even some people showed up before we showed up and they were like, yeah, we're here with Jasper. Jasper didn't know who the hell he was, who they were. And then for every single person who showed up, he had to take a shot. And we were there for 5 minutes, he's borderline in tears, pass out on the staircase. To be fair, you remember that night? Wait, I just walked away, and you guys got a phone call. Like, I just borderline passed out at McDonald's, obviously. Like,
yeah, I video called you at McDonald's.
If you're ever lost, go back to, you know, go back to where it feels like home, you know what I mean? Like,
I forgot about that, but yeah. It was like 3 a.m. or something, and Matt just had disappeared for an hour, so we're wondering where he was. And then, yeah, we, like you said, we get this phone call from this person we don't know. I'm like, oh, it's Matt. And then some other voice answers. It's like, yeah, we have your friend. We're at McDonald's. But the funniest part is McDonald's had been closed for 3 hours. So Matthew just, out of pure instinct, went to McDonald's.
And just sat outside
and got rescued by some strangers.
Mate, I can't wait to get that sausage McMuffin when it opens.
I'll sleep here. I'll wait for it.
Wasn't that also the night, Rio, you won like 2,000 euros at beer
pong?
Yeah,
Jesus. Yeah, yeah. We played this like 1,000 euro beer pong. I don't know. I don't know who we were playing that was loaded enough to, you know, wager that money. But we won. And I'm like, all right, sick.
Wait, you bet it though? Did you put money on the table for it?
I didn't put money. So we were in teams. I didn't have any risk associated. I was just shooting, you know, for money.
That's awesome.
And then so we won, and the guy was ready to pay, but then my friend is like, "No, I don't want to do that. We're new friends." But hey, I can't complain because I didn't wager any money, right?
I guess you did the right thing.
Yeah.
From my perspective, the story was a lot better, which was we were playing beer pong, and then suddenly two groups of people were like, "Hey, we're really good at this. Yeah, so are we." And they go, "All right, let's put $5 down on it." And they were bidding each other up.
Yeah.
At some point, you could see Rio get progressively more uncomfortable with it. And then at some point, because one of them was the neighbor of where we had the party, was like, "Yeah, you know what? Let's just put like $600 down." And our friend who was playing isn't one to back down. So it's like, yeah, okay, fucking hell. And then they wagered each other up even more. You could just see Rio get paler and paler.
Like 2 month rent.
Oh, man.
And then when you won, you went absolutely insane.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You couldn't lose it.
Couldn't lose it, yeah.
Mind you, Scott, you know who that was. That is the neighbor of the party where we were is the friend you brought to our house party who brought the beer pong table. That was that beer pong table.
Hey, a small world.
It's a small city, huh?
That was Mark who put the bet down?
Yeah.
Mark. That was his name, yeah.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
Mark was pissed when he lost, by the way.
He does think he's good at beer pong. But yeah, like, I remember when he brought it to the house party, we kicked his ass immediately. Mm-hmm.
That is also, wow. I still have a scar from that beer pong table. Because it closed on my hand.
That was the next morning, too. That wasn't even...
It was the day before. It was the day before. Of the party. I was setting it up for the party, slam my hand into it, start bleeding like a maniac, already a bit drunk at that point, wrap it in kitchen towel and duct tape, and just continue having a night.
Yeah, we had been playing Mario Kart up until then. That kind of explains it.
Yeah.
Toby, do you remember when we played World War II beer pong?
I do.
I don't know if this is appropriate. This seems inappropriate.
Well, if you present it correctly, I think it's fine.
Nope. Moving on.
In a hypothetical world, if someone were to play, let me just change the topic here. In a hypothetical world, if someone were to play beer pong, and it were to be not in a normal beer pong, but beer pong World War II version, what do you think it would look like in terms of just the gameplay?
Wait, so you're saying we're now in World War II times and we're playing beer pong?
No, I'm trying to piggyback exactly off what you just
said. I don't think they said during World War II.
That would be something.
They didn't have the beer pong. They didn't have the red solo cup technology.
Yeah, it's probably another color.
Yeah, they had metal cups and that just didn't work. Because you know, the balls, they don't go in there. And then they only had bullets. They didn't have ping pong balls. So you can't really get
it. So they shot the metal cups. And if you hit one,
people get mad. People shoot each other.
The tables were 300 meters long and it was with snipers. You know, yeah.
No one ever hit anything after the second cup.
Instead of rearranging, you just throw a flashbang on the other side.
And whatever you do in the meantime goes.
Yeah, you just go put them all in the cups.
Hey, also very fittingly, on that bombshell.
That sounds good. We are approaching. I think we've passed the hour mark now.
We have passed the hour mark, and I know Matt, you have something to do soon.
I can do a little bit longer if you guys want to, like, My plans are cancelled, but it's just I want to watch the football at 9 o'clock.
Well,
I'm really nervous about the
well,
football.
What you guys want to talk about?
Let me put you on the spot as we do with all our guests. We always like to essentially tell them in the moment, as I'm doing right now, if you have space now to mention, say, ask whatever the fuck you want. Go for it.
Did the Netherlands officially lose?
Yeah, 2-0. I'm sorry, but this is bad reporting. Breaking news, it is 2-0.
Humiliating. No, you said that already.
You did tell us 2-0. You didn't tell us they'd lost.
Yeah,
full time.
Official result.
I know a lot of people who are very sad right now.
Yeah. I'm quite worried about the game tonight.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good game.
What's your prediction? Let's do that. Belgium-Portugal is, we're recording this. It's 8 o'clock right now, 27th of June. And Belgium-Portugal is coming up in about an hour. What are your predictions?
Prediction from Mystic Mac. It's going to be 3-1 Belgium. You heard it here first.
Wow.
It's going to be Lukaku, Hazard. And then just give Ronaldo a goal for like charity. You know what I mean? A bit of pity. A pity goal.
You, Rio?
My prediction?
Yeah.
I will say 3-1 Portugal. You know?
Well, that's a friendship over. You're right.
I will say
2-2. I'm invested, though.
2-2, and who wins in extra time? Because someone's got to win.
No one wins. We all win in this Euro Cup.
Next week when we record, they're still going to be on the penalty shootout. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, then we'll know.
There's been like the longest penalty shootouts were like 30 to something. I don't know, like a lot of them, and they take a day break and they came back later.
Really?
Yeah, they've done this. It's a very rare occasion, but they did this before. I do think, however, that Portugal will score first today.
The problem Belgium does have.
But I picked Belgium to win the tournament, so I do think they're going to win this game 2 or 3-1. Yeah.
Good man. No, I do think Belgium's one weakness is. I think on the counter-attack, we've got a slow defense. We could struggle against a fast counter-attack, but we'll see. I really do think it's a 50-50 game.
Do you play with a back four always, or is it back three?
Yes, it's a back three dash. You know, it's like that classic.
And
back
then you
three,
play three
five.
Center backs too, and then you're pretty slow at the back. Yeah.
We basically defend five at the back,
yeah,
and then two when wingers. We attack, it becomes three. Exactly.
But on the counter-attack, you have three slow center backs, and that's kind of where you get caught out. Yeah.
Yeah, they're aging now, so especially against Portugal, who've got a good attack. It's gonna be a bit of a tough one.
I guess we're all in agreement apart from Rio.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Rio.
So be it.
Do you have any connections with Portugal?
You know what?
You just not
no,
bet
I,
against
I
Portugal wins 2-1. Suck it. I'm siding with Rio.
Thanks, Toby.
Team
I
Rio.
Just did it despite Matthew.
This is also the only way we can get a 2-2, which is what I tipped. So,
you're a bunch of nerds.
No, I have zero football knowledge. I do have American football knowledge.
Okay, well, isn't something going on right now?
Something
in the NFL? Is it still the off season, or are they
starting
with?
No, it's still the off season.
Draft and shit.
No, draft happened. Draft happened, and now it's
the
training.
Okay, right. Cool. Shout out to the Atlanta Hawks, by the way. I'm born in Atlanta, so that's my basketball team. I don't know if you follow NBA, but I love it. And they're lighting the league up right now. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals out of nowhere. And they have a serious shot to surprise here. And if they play insanely well, I really believe they can win the whole thing, because out of the West, you're going to have the Suns, presumably, who now have a 3-1 lead over the Clippers for our potential half viewer that likes basketball. Just shout out to the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, shout out Hawks.
Can we all agree that LaMelo Ball is the greatest of all time?
I think that's undisputed.
Okay. LiAngelo Ball. LiAngelo Ball released the
Please don't tell me that's the only basketball player you know.
No. I watch a little bit. It's not. But I do enjoy Ball and the Family.
Wow. It's a show about their family. It's like the Kardashians, but terrible.
Yeah, see, I know Tristan Thompson. Come on.
out of all the players,
that was
know
good.
Him.
That was
that's
good.
Yeah.
On that bombshell.
You know who I like in football?
Go on.
James Football. The inventor of football.
I don't
We have come full circle.
Well, I don't know what to say that.
Excellent. Let's end it.
Guys, can I have one last question?
Go on.
So I'm thinking most of this summer is going to be around Maastricht, the Netherlands, and so on. Does anyone have any suggestions, things close by Maastricht to do this summer?
There is a laser tag place in Vaals, I believe, or in Kerkrade, something like that.
Fair enough.
They're meant to be really good.
There's one in Maastricht, too.
Really? There's a zoo around here, too.
Oh, the zoo is right next to my office, actually. It's the big fat one in Kerkrade.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. That's open again. But I would not advise anybody to support zoos.
Yeah, I'm not a big zoo fan myself.
Yeah. Apart from Disney World in Florida, because they built like a whole fucking like country for their animals. Which that's awesome. Thing.
There's one or two zoos. I feel like you need zoos, but like there's one or two, you know what I mean? Like really good ones otherwise.
Yeah, sanctuaries, not zoos.
Yeah.
Because selling it is weird.
In Dubai, like when I was small, we went to like the zoo. I was like, you know, it's just like a lion in the space of like my bathroom. And you're like, that's miserable. Never getting there again.
Yeah. Yeah. Although zoos were always cool as a kid, honestly.
Yeah.
As a kid, yeah. At the same time, cool. I remember going to the zoo with my grandparents and they had like baby white tigers and I got to feed them with the milk bottle. And I was like 5 years or six. And I will never forget that. That was so cool. But like terrible.
Agreed.
Hey man, we all love going to Thailand, petting a drugged up tiger and it changing our life.
Just find yourself, bro.
Yeah, man.
Go find yourself in Thailand.
Get some nice fluffy pants and then come back and you're a new person.
Am I officially a friend of the podcast now?
Pardon?
Can I be an official friend of the podcast now?
I mean, you already were, but you are an official guest now.
You can become an active listener too. You qualify.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
I searched you guys up earlier. I'm gonna start listening.
All right.
For sure. Now you've gone from 10 to 11 listeners. So.
That's good. Cool. I'll take it.
The more guests you have, the more viewers you get too, you know?
Yeah, because the guests listen to themselves. That's important. Yeah. <you know? laughs> I do have a question. Who would you like to see on our show at some point?
Oh, wow.
Also, part of this question is you have to be able to help us to get this person on.
That's a good question, you know?
All right.
I want to start this trend where we ask this. So you're the first attempt.
Let me have a think. Rio, if you can think of anything. I'm sure I could find someone interesting from back home in Dubai. Someone who's done something interesting. Let me have a think. I can't think on the spot, but I'm sure I can find someone interesting who'd be.
Okay, then just forget the part where you have to organize it. Who would you want to see? But like, yeah, definitely do that, please.
But like, as in like a realistic option.
Yeah, more like realistical.
Okay.
Or in the meantime, Rio, if you have an answer.
Oh, I zoned out. But I don't know, man. Maybe someone who has like maybe someone from work or something. Someone you can talk to about something more specific, like a study they do.
I don't want to show this format to a colleague.
No. Fair point.
I just listen to a podcast. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listened to a podcast just recently on an expert of someone who studied everything that was like sleep and dreams, all that kind of stuff. Super interesting. Mm. Like they went to sleep paralysis, things like that. Like the science behind it, really, really interesting. So especially in Maastricht, you can probably find in the.
Yeah, we have sleep researchers. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a handful of them. We have a sleep researcher guy.
On the podcast?
We have a guy that organizes sleep researchers for us. Yeah.
Wow.
But that might be really interesting.
There you go.
Yeah.
I feel like Constantine would be interesting to have on here.
We'll go through the whole frat.
Yeah, have lots, yeah. Actually, we should have said that, Matt. Just get every frat member on there.
Listen, you already got the two most interesting ones.
I was going to say, yeah.
I feel, who would be the best? Michael would be entertaining. He'd throw
Michael would be good.
Michael and Lucas, if you could get them on together, would have some funny stories for you guys.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
If we have frat members coming on here, I can't believe we haven't asked you this, but you should have done some kind of frat thing while being on here in terms of inappropriate drinking.
Listen, you've got the two wrong people for that. I'm telling you. Now, you got Michael and Lucas's name. Toby, make it happen. They'll do it gladly.
They got the drink.
You don't need a platform.
Toby's in shame right now.
Toby's like, God, who are my friends?
I don't need to give anyone a platform.
Well, we have. And thank you guys so much for using it. We really appreciate that you came on today. It's been an amazing chat. You're always welcome back on the podcast. And especially Matt, I want to hear about that Dubai person. I would really appreciate if you look into that.
Yeah, bro, 100%.
I don't know if you guys have any last words.
No, thank you, guys. It was good fun, guys. This is like a bucket list tick. I'm like podcast, man. I'm listening to 3 podcasts a day. So, like, this was a lot of fun. So, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you. I really love this format. It's cool. An hour passed by in like 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah, I can't believe it's been an hour 20.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to do. Just have a cool, honest conversation and hopefully, you know, 10, 15 other people can listen to this in the background and think they're in a bar.
Yeah. I mean, bars are open now, so this is moot, but...
You know, listen to it falling asleep.
I don't know about ASMR. That. Didn't say that. Yeah.
ASMR. On that bombshell. Good night, everyone.
Cheers, guys.
Good stuff, guys.
Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you, guys.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
Bye.